Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Why don't you come with us?
Yeah, I might. On another planet in a different universe. No offense.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 3, Episode 3, None of the Above. And now, here are your hosts.
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Hello, listeners. Welcome to our first episode of 2025. Before we get to it, we want to tell you what's happening on the Patreon. Episode 223 of Again With This is going to be dropping January 10th. Let's watch Alyssa Milano, Cameron Bancroft, and Paul Johansson in To Brave Alaska. It's on Peacock. People get trapped on a mountain, I think. We haven't watched it yet, but it sounds very disastery and probably very scary, according to Amy. I don't know. Very full of Starverse stars. We can say that for a fact.
Well, and I hope a sweater will save them all. If you know, you know. In other news, this Thursday, January 9th, we will be bringing our Patreon high rollers at the $5 level and up a supersized Again With Them, covering episodes going all the way back to the last week of November and right up to today. If you're listening to this the day it drops, how many episodes is that? What do they discuss? We don't know, because as we record this, it is November 19th.
Yep.
But it's probably a lot of episodes and probably a lot of bullshit. So kick up that pledge to get all the details. You can do that and hear our entire archive at againwiththispodcast.com/club.
So true. Let's get into this episode, starting with our B plot. Football players are in crisis. You might think you would be spared a football plot line when this episode is like a quarter over before we even get to practice, but no, here they fucking are. Henry advises Jack on how to get tackled without dropping the ball. Jack then has to run straight at some guys and get wrecked. I guess this is called the shoot. I don't know. Don't tell me. I don't care. Mitch tells Jack to go again. Jack complains that his teammates are punitively singling him out. Mitch agrees, but claims it's not for the reason Jack thinks. He's the new kid, and he's not protecting the ball. So Jack runs the gauntlet again, and this time two guys flip him all the way around. This game's so dumb. Again, don't tell me. I don't care. The next night, Jen helps Jack wrap his bruised ribs as he tells her he's quitting the team tomorrow. She tries to reverse psychologize him about it, but he sees through her, so she changes tack. When you quit something, you're telling yourself you're not good enough. Jack guesses what else she's going to say, like that if he gives up on this small thing now, he'll give up on bigger things in the future, but he doesn't care. He's quitting. So Jen pivots again. Fate threw him a ball and he caught it. Maybe he's meant to be a famous gay athlete who helps others figure out their own shit. Maybe he's meant to help the school win some games and gain morale. Or maybe it's just the first step toward meeting someone else in a similar situation. But for now, he should hang on to that ball. Jack calls all of that cheesier than her first response, and she yanks his bandage. And the next day, it's practice again. When they stop, Henry tells Jack he needs a mantra to focus on and take his mind off the abuse his body's going to take in a game. Because in this sport, thought equals death. Cool game. Jack doesn't get why Henry is helping him. Well, Henry wants to win games, which they won't if Jack is not on the team. Also, Henry knows Jack is gay and that Jack knows a goddess Henry is obsessed with. And I'm not sure what Jack's sexuality has to do with that sentence other than maybe Henry knows he and Jack are not ever going to be competing with each other for her. I didn't get it.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of.
So he goes on so we can hear what it sounds like when Michael Pitt tries to deliver Dawson's Creek dialogue, clip 2.
I dream about her, Jack, every night. Heavy dreams about her lips, her breasts, her legs. If she would just allow me near her, to smell her sweet smell, maybe even kiss me or take me in her arms, deliver me from suffering falsehood, it would prove that there wasn't anything bad or empty-hearted in this world that couldn't be corrected.
Slow down.
You see yourself. How I am? You gotta help me, Jack. I'm begging you.
You're not talking about who I think you're.
A certain head cheerleader.
Jen Lindley?
What?
Word to the wise. This is no reflection on you, Henry, at all. But, you're a freshman. Okay, you have about as much chance with Jen Lindley as I have in making it through that shoot tomorrow.
I mean, depends who you ask. If you ask that other bitchy cheerleader, she would think anyone would have a chance with Jen, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know where this goes, but the laugh in his face was kind of mean, but also funny. You can see that in the visual aids.
Yeah, true.
At practice the next day, Henry stares yearningly as Jen lets cheerleading practice happen around her. Jack snaps Henry out of it just before Mitch sends Jack back to the shoot. Clip 3.
You got your mantra? What is it?
Fug.
Fug?
F-U-G. It's the only word I got in my head right now. Fug. Fug. Fug!
I mean, they thought they were much too clever mm-hmm. with this, but I mean, they got away with it.
They
so
did.
Credit.
And shout out to Heather and Jessica, the Fug girls.
Uh-huh. Gotta love it.
Somewhere they're feeling good and they don't know why. Mm-hmm. Jen looks at the field as Jack assumes the position, yells Fug to himself, then runs through the rows in slow motion, smashing guys away from him as Mitch shakes his fist in triumph. Jack makes it through and everyone celebrates. And as Henry watches Jen applauding Jack, he decides he should also give Fug a try and runs straight at her at full speed as she looks more and more alarmed. And finally, he runs past her toward the school as she remains on the field. Very confused. Clip 4.
What was that?
We ask ourselves that every week.
Yeah,
Jennifer.
Good question. On to the A-plot. Everyone's plagued by temptation to cheat on the PSAT. Only Joey also has to deal with persistent attention from Rob. We open on the TV in Dawson's room playing an episode of Felicity because this show's producers like to torture us in a way that feels very personal.
Mm-hmm.
Dawson snorts at Felicity haying Ben and reminds the unfortunately still present Eve that he asked her over so they could actually talk and get to know each other. Sidebar. Does Mitch know the girl Dawson was fooling around with in front of the whole school is currently in his house? Not clear.
No.
Anyway, Eve wants to know, after they do talk and get to know each other, clip 5.
And then can we have sex?
You know, if she is here because they got a note from the network to make the show hornier, like, get on with it, because this version of constantly talking about sex is just as bad as before. It's so tiresome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Literally zero chance a real teenager would not have just punched their ticket to the bone zone by now. Or, like, that she would have gotten sick of the endless blathering also.
Right.
But this person does not exist.
No.
This constantly navel exposed in Massachusetts person
yes
does not exist. This is manufactured conflict. This is absolutely, as you were saying, the result of a network note to make the show hornier, but like, again, get there.
Yeah,
do it.
Yes. Dawson's not ruling out sex, but says that on movie night, they're supposed to watch movies. When Eve says she prefers TV, it cues Dawson to make exactly the speech you would expect. Clip 6.
You've got to be kidding.
Actually, no.
Why'd you do it?
Movies are an art form. This is just the pablum they stick between beer commercials.
Don't be such a snob, Dawson. I mean, a TV show is just like a movie, except shorter. Built-in bathroom breaks, and you get a new sequel every week.
Sequels I hate on principle.
Suit yourself. I'm hooked.
When you read my paper, how bad was it?
It wasn't bad.
All right, you know what? But take Felicity, for example.
I'm
Now, come on, I mean, you've seen 1 hour of whiny, over-analytical teen angst. You've seen them all. Don't get me wrong, she's pretty, but what kind of a heroine is she? She's indecisive. She's basically paralyzed by some romantic notion of the way things are supposed to be. If you ask me, she's kind of chatty.
She's you.
Yeah, we got that. Thanks.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it's not a comparison this show can live up to. Like,
no.
To pick this as your comp and then to do a PSAT subplot that focuses only on the synonym section of the verbal when you already don't know how to use words correctly a lot of the time. Mistakes were made.
Oh, yeah. Dawson has not been blessed with self-awareness, so Eve has to explain the only differences are that Felicity is in college and a girl. And a fictional character on a television show, Dawson adds, writers, I promise you we get it. We fucking get it. Stop. Give your audience a crumb of credit. Eve climbs onto Dawson's lap as she says he's exactly right. He is straight out of central casting with perfect skin, sure, and hair, certainly not. Our hero, she concludes, and he says, clip 7.
Oh. Obviously weren't watching last season. It was far from perfect. You know, which is, in general, my complaint about television. It's not reality, it's perfection. I mean, nobody ever blows it or gets tested in any real way or ever makes, you know, the wrong choice or a bad choice or...
Don't you know that's where I come in? You know, second season. Shake things up. Screw the steps.
Ah, a temptress. We'll test our hero's very moral fiber.
Will he survive unscathed? Stay tuned.
You know what else I hate about television? They almost cut to commercial at the best part.
That's right. I went to Prime Video to get the original theme song.
And since when is it the best part? Like, I don't think they even go to second base, honestly.
No. Exhausting. After the credits, Joey wakes up to her alarm, fully dressed, and runs to school, pounding on the door where students, including Dawson, are taking the PSAT. She continues knocking and yelling his name, but he doesn't react, and then her alarm goes off for real because it was just a nightmare. Elsewhere, Andy is simultaneously watching the news, flipping through flashcards, and doing crunches. So I guess her old therapist's advice that she relax has been overruled by her new ones. Jen and Jack are also reviewing. As Jack offers synonyms for nonchalant, we cut to Pacey, peacefully still asleep. And at school, for real this time, the friggin' principal is leading PSAT prep because he has nothing better to do. Unfortunately, this group includes his most annoying student, clip 8.
Now anonyms. Mr. Leary.
Alert, attentive, concerned. That is, provided you believe that the PSAT is a true measure of intelligence and not a culturally biased weapon against the poor and disenfranchised.
Okay, you're right, but also shut up. Especially don't lecture your black principal about this. I promise you, he fucking knows.
Yeah. Also, pay SAT. Ask for another take, hero of the downtrodden.
Principal Green generously says Dawson has a point. Some might say the test is designed to mess with your mind, but if they want to go to college, they have to take it. And when the bell rings, Principal Green asks Joey to stay. In the hall, Andy has resumed flashcard prep when she physically runs into Pacey and drops them all, cursing him. And then they both smack each other in the head when they stoop to pick up her stuff. Obviously, gifts of both of these are in the visual aids. Well, they gather the cards, clip 9.
Don't worry, Pacey. This isn't going to be one of those horribly awkward, hope boy didn't mean all those hurtful things he said during the breakup moment.
Well, that's a relief, because I sure don't want to play the guy feels guilty about breakup, even though it was girl who had an affair with the mental patient scene.
Fair enough.
You know, not that it's any of my business anymore, Andy, but have you ever heard of over-preparing for a test?
What, as opposed to not preparing at all?
As opposed to making yourself crazy over something with the word practice in front of it.
If you want to throw away everything we've... I mean you've worked for, that's fine by me.
Yeah.
Me, on the other hand, I am not going to let our little bump in the road throw me off my chosen course. See you around.
Okay. I mean, Pacey ends up going to class, so I don't understand what she's upset about. We see him in prep later.
I don't either.
Whatever.
Whatever. I'll get back to my sort of grand unifying theory about this and why it's not really working, but
okay,
we'll get to it.
Back to Joey, who's looking terrified as Principal Green tells her she has a shot at a national merit scholarship. He is apparently not the first to say so, and the pressure's keeping her from sleeping. He kindly tells her to take the night off and relax. But unfortunately, Joey's first thought is to spend that night watching movies with Dawson. He's into it until she says she wants to do it that night. And that's when Eve smugly rolls up on them, and Dawson has to say he already has plans with her, but Joey's welcome to join them. Joey's not interested, no offense, to Eve, and she pitifully trudges off. Eve sneeringly asks what that was about, and Dawson doesn't try to explain that we see. Lucky Joey then gets to try to recover from this with a shift at the marina, listening to her shitty boss Rob yammering about the dating advice he just gave some buddy, which is give the ladies what they want. Joey asks him to give her what she wants. He thought she'd never ask, but what she wants is Friday night off to study for the test the next day. Rob agrees. He remembers what it's like, even though he never actually took the test. His dad endowed his university, and just to be sure, Rob also hired a ringer to take the test for him. Again, the PSAT? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That seems like overkill. Joey doesn't believe it, but Rob claims the guy even won him a scholarship. Joey says she owes him one, and he tries to cash in immediately with an offer to take her out for a post-PSAT celebration. Joey tries to deflect by joking that her husband doesn't like her seeing other people. Rob thought she would say she had to wash her hair, but she says the truth is she's a lesbian, and of course, he just thinks that's hot and asks who her girlfriend is, and when she laughs and shrugs, he repeats his invitation. Would it be okay if she just said no, she wonders. He says it is and wanders off, but she clearly doesn't think that's going to be the end of it, and neither does anyone else, because this is life in patriarchy, no, where you have to jolly these people along so they don't murder you.
Kill you.
Yep.
Over to Dawson's later, where he's studying in bed when he hears a creak outside his window. A creak is in the sound, not a creak is in the creak of the title.
Right.
Although I suppose he hears that too. When he looks again, an apple has been left on the windowsill by Eve, of course, who slinks into frame and tells him to take a bite. He'll forever know the difference between good and evil. We get it! We get it!
It's also the worst kind of apple. I'm not going to relitigate this again either, but take your red delicious metaphor purchasing ass and get out of town. Have your father lock you up on the Air Force base somewhere, please. Yes. But I'm getting ahead of myself.
She and her visible nipples tell him to come out and enjoy the beautiful night. He mentions having sat out there with Joey, and she annoyingly describes Joey as the ubiquitous brunette who hasn't yet learned the power and sway she holds over the hearts of men. She's ubiquitous? She's ubiquitous. That's rich coming from you.
Yeah. Ugh. You are like a cold sore.
Yes. Dawson tells Eve what we already know about their past relationship, although any recap I might do would not include the phrase secondary sexual characteristics. Eve says that she had a boy next door too, improbably his name was Monroe, lived in the adjoining house on the base. Dawson surmises that Eve is an army brat, and she adds that she and Monroe even more improbably could see into each other's bedrooms. Not sure how that architecture works, but there was only one problem. Monroe was Eve's dad's commanding officer. Stop.
You're a victim. Go deal with that somewhere else. Thank you.
If Dawson has a reaction to this claim, we don't see it because the camera stays on Eve as she hands over an envelope with an ETS educational testing. What is it? Service. Sticker in the top left corner. Dawson looks alarmed as Eve confirms it is an advanced copy of Saturday's test. She tries to give it to him, and when he refuses to take it, she laughs at him for being foolish. Even if it goes against his moral code, he must know someone who would want it. Clip 10.
The apple was a metaphor. This is the real thing.
No. No. That's not what words mean.
No.
Why? Why are you like this? Also, it's the PSAT. Nobody cares.
Also, we never find out how she got it.
Yeah, that I care about that. That's annoying. Yes. The ETS is not an armed force.
No.
Writers. No. It's not like the Coast Guard. Okay. Sigh.
We pan from the envelope and apple in Dawson's hands to his thoughtful face in case we still don't get it. We do. I swear. I promise we do.
Yeah. Honest.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The next day, Dawson has gathered all the opening credits kids in the school library to look at the incriminating envelope, which he has not disguised at all, by the way, at a place and time when literally anyone could see or hear them. Like, the barest minimum of OPSEC, put it in a binder, put it in a folder, take it out and put it, like, do something. Do something
to conceal
it. After
school.
Yes.
Get on the email chain.
Right.
Anything but this.
Yes. Have everyone come over to your lawn so that Mitch doesn't hear you in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Jen, by the way, and you can see this in the visual aids, is wearing the Lucky Brand, like, blue Buddha shirt that if you didn't know someone who had this, it's because you had it. Like, this shirt.
Yeah.
Talk about ubiquitous. That shirt.
And was on Felicity every week. Also, she pairs it with those waxed denim American Eagle flares, too. That's like, that was really a moment.
It was a time.
Yep.
Jack and Andy want to know where Dawson got it. He will only say someone gave it to him. So Joey immediately guesses who, and Dawson's terrible poker face confirms her guess. Jen is dubious that the envelope's contents are even legit. So Pacey dives in and clip 11.
Go ahead, Pacey. Way to complete your return to the halls of academic loserdom.
Maybe you'd like to open it up, Andy. I mean, after all, cheating seems to be an activity that you're real comfortable with these days.
Academic loserdom has halls? That sounds very hallowed.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of metaphors, that one got away from you a little bit.
Yeah. It's right behind the PX on the Air Force base of the educational testing Praetorian Guard?
Immediately, Jack is like, take it back where you got it. No one's looking. But Jen's like, not so fast. And soon they're going around the table saying what reasons they each might have to cheat. Principal Green himself said the test is a game. Joey wants to win a national merit scholarship. Jack's been too busy footballing to study. Andy really wants to go to Harvard. Pacey's in the process of sliding back into academic slacking, but then Principal Green enters and the fire alarm goes off. Principal standing right next to Dawson as he reminds everyone to leave their stuff where it is and go outside, and Dawson tries to subtly loiter so he can snatch up and hide the envelope, but Principal Green just tells him to go and he has to abandon it, so of course, when they get back inside after the fire drill, the envelope is gone! Dun-dun-dun! Amid everybody's panicking, Jen says she took it, then recants when it's clear no one's ready to joke about it. Dawson assumes Pacey took it, and he neither confirms nor denies it. That's when Principal Green joins them again, calling them the McLaughlin Group and roasting them until they disperse. I mean, of all the references, like, the hole in the wall game is more like it.
Yeah.
Joey's still so distracted at the marina later that Rob catches her filling an already full gas tank and splashing gas into the water that Eve, I just want to remind everyone, was dangling her feet in 2 episodes ago. This is what I mean when I say marina water is disgusting.
Yep, no good.
Rob covers by telling the customers gas is on the house, and Joey minimizes her fuck up by as spilling a little and not the Exxon Valdez. Rob tells her that $38 is coming out of her paycheck and her night off is canceled. How much gas can you put in a boat? That seems high. I don't think I pay that much to fill my car now.
Yeah, no.
I also want to know how much business the marina is getting at night in September that Rob needs Joey to work. But
yeah, what?
Joey accuses him of changing his mind because she rejected him, which he denies. And after hours, Dawson is searching the library for the test while Eve sits by the window they crawled in and taunts that he's wasting his time. He begs her at least to pretend to help look, but she laughs that they don't have any hope of finding it. The security guard the school improbably has then approaches, so they duck under a table, Dawson stupidly muttering a multiple choice joke instead of being quiet so they can evade discovery. The guard leaves and Eve says they should just leave as well. If Dawson really wants the test back, he just needs to figure out which of the five people who knew about it took it. And after the commercial, Principal Green yells at everyone about the national cheating scandal they're all embroiled in, but they're still in their outfits from the day Dawson presented the test envelope, so we know this is someone's guilty nightmare. And then Joey gets up, grins mischievously at Dawson, and pulls the fire alarm, but then it's her alarm clock again and her guilty nightmare. And when we see her next, she and the opening credits kids are in the accusing parlor, aka the library. Dawson says that whoever stole the test has to give it back. Jen points out it was already stolen. Joey doesn't see the harm in just letting it stay gone, and Jack agrees that whoever took it wasn't more desperate than anyone else, they were just quicker. Andy tries to start a dialogue about what this says about the integrity of their group, but Pacey's not interested, and even Joey gives her a look like, really, bitch? Which you can see in the visual aids, was very funny.
Yeah.
They go on, clip 12.
I'm starting to feel like some sort of psychologically abused lab rat.
You're not the lab rat Jen Dawson is.
Watch it, Joey.
Throwing parties, crashing boats, upstaging marching bands. Dawson, if your rope was any more yanked, you'd be a church bell.
Joey, Eve has nothing to do with this.
Oh, no. It's typical Dawson Leary behavior to offer your friends contraband.
She didn't tell me to do anything with that test.
You are so blinded by her cover girl looks, you wouldn't even notice if she did. I bet when she offered you that test, you didn't fire one ethical comment her way, did you? It's just your friends who have to sit here and suffer through the Dawson Leary morality play. Bleach blonde whole bags willing to put out need not audition.
Are you finished?
I could go on.
Look, I'm sorry I brought you all into this, but one of us has taken the charade to another level. Okay, here's the deal. I'm going to leave my locker unlocked. Whoever has a test will put it inside by 5:30 today.
Oh, come on, Dawson. The petty thief among us already left the crime scene. I'm not going to return that thing now. What's the incentive?
To do the right thing.
Okay, Gary Cooper. Whatever.
Honestly, also firing ethical comments. Chill out. Like, she doesn't exist. She's like a stack of belly buttons in a very short overcoat. Calm down.
I also believe her. That's her real hair color. If not, she has an excellent colorist because, you know, her hair is the only thing I don't hate about this character.
I mean, she is beautiful, and the styles of the time are really perfect for her.
Yes.
This character is Garabaggio.
Yeah, she is. Actually, but I have to note, too, the more I've been watching it, the more I've noticed she has Alyssa Milano's face. Their features, other than her eyes are smaller than Milano's, but her nose and mouth, it's like exactly the same. See, next time you watch an episode, which at this point is going to be in 1 month.
Yeah. Is this going to be one of those, like, it's blue or it's gold? Like, you can't unsee it once you've decided? Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I also think that Edie Falco and James McAvoy are twins, so maybe I'm just crazy.
Oh, my God. Yes, they are. Okay. That's black letter law, please.
Okay, good. Sorry to anyone who I just ruined James McAvoy for. Cut to the hall where Andy is loitering in her platform slides as she waits to ambush Pacey. After leading him into a classroom, she pushes a box toward him and tells him to consider it final negotiations. He realizes some of it is his stuff, but also some of it is gifts that he gave her, like a stuffed Dumbo. Andrew crisply confirms it's everything she had that he ever had contact with, basically. He thinks this is harsh, but she doesn't intend this to be a long, drawn-out breakup. Now that her life is in order, she has a plan to keep it that way. She wanted Pacey to be part of it, but if he can't, he gets nothing. Not even memories, he asks, as he pulls out a cute framed photo of the two of them. Although, when you look at it close up, you can tell it's been printed on, like, a 1999 color printer because they had to have a bunch for the prop for what happens later. So it's a little grainy.
Mm-hmm.
Especially not memories, she says. And if those are the terms he's ready to sign, she says he just did. Ugh, whatever.
Yeah. God.
this phase of Andy, not my favorite. Stop being spiteful. Also, Friends did it already.
This is what I was alluding to before. I think they were maybe not prepared for like some kind of scheduling thing or something. I really don't know. Mm. But I think they went with a like heel turn for Andy
for
that
her, yeah.
was not mm-hmm. where, yeah. I mean, they keep trying it and it's like, no. Okay. Mm.
Then Joey is sneaking study time during her shift at the marina when she comes outside to see who is at the bell. It is Pacey, who is drunkenly hitting it with a gas nozzle, then telling Joey about the handoff of the box, which he still has until he trips and sends it into the water, Joey wincing. As she goes into the office to call his dad with his location at Pacey's request, Pacey sees the only thing not to have fallen in is the framed photo, but when he reaches for it, he knocks that in and watches it sink below the surface. And I don't know why his dad cares about where he is at night now, but whatever. I guess there had to be a reason she wasn't there, but it's not consistent with the John Witter we know.
No.
Back at school, Dawson walks in with Eve, taunting that he's like a St. Bernard. Dawson firmly says he's about to open his locker and see the test in there because he believes in happy endings. Eve calls that a contradiction in terms. No, that's not what you mean. Also,
yeah,
shut up.
Especially not the kind you would be giving out. But anyway.
Dawson accuses Eve of enjoying this, but she says she's just more of a fan of the Brothers Grimm. How can she be so cynical? How can he be so naive? Dawson makes a meal out of opening his locker dramatically, but the test isn't in there, and then he looks shattered. Clip 13.
All is not lost, my sweet prince.
You know what, Eve? Just leave me the hell alone, okay?
God, please.
Yeah.
Please.
Leave all of us alone.
Please.
It's not your fault, but you gotta go.
You really do, and it's a little your fault. But no. She just uses that as an opening to say he should keep her around because she can help him get the test back by telling him who took it. Clip 14.
I'm listening.
Tell me who you think it is.
I don't know.
Yes, you do. Whoever you were just thinking of, that's a thief.
It's that simple.
It is. Simple and obvious.
I don't buy it. If there's one thing that I've learned from the stupid PSAT prep books, it's that the most obvious choice is usually the wrong one.
We're not talking about standardized tests here, Dawson. Take a look at your yearbook. It's a crystal ball. The ones most likely to succeed usually succeed. And the one most likely to wind up in a chain gang usually has some rock breaking in his future. Welcome to the real world, Dawson. Where the first person to stab you in the back is your best friend.
Okay.
What?
I guess no spoilers for who did take it, but fuck this character forever for this, like more than even before, which was a lot.
Yeah. Also, when is this horrible imp from? Rock breaking?
Right.
Chain gangs? Okay, Samantha Cook, chill out. And then it's just like a silly string burst of cliche, just like tropey, half-baked, let's just write these phrases down and we'll fix it later, and they didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, I am exhausted. Exhausted.
She's so bad. Cut to the marina, where Joey and Pacey have both fallen asleep. Pacey starts when he hears Dawson come around the corner and calls him Inspector Get a Cluso. Not bad. Dawson can tell Pacey is still drunk and is appalled. Clip 15.
It's the night before the PSAT, Pacey. Why are you drinking?
I don't need to study. I mean, I got the test, right?
If you have it, give it back.
Oh, I wish I did, hombre. I mean, I really wish I did. But I don't. I don't. It's not here. It's not at home under my bed with my Playboys. It is nowhere to be found.
See, we've been friends for 16 years, and I'm not stupid.
Friends, huh? Friends. You know, that word friends is an interesting word. It implies that you would actually believe your friend when he's telling you something.
You tell me the truth.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Forever.
Bad friend.
Worst guy.
Really bad friend and person.
Yeah, awful.
And it's not over. Clip 16.
You want to know what I find so very amusing about this situation? I mean, what I think is so really, really rich about all this is that you yourself were capable of stealing this test. All right, you thought about it. You didn't throw that test away. You didn't give it back to Eve. You brought the test to us.
No, I wanted to consult the people I trusted to determine what the best thing was to do. I never thought that anyone would be so weak or so self-motivated to actually swipe it.
Weak and self-motivated, huh? Now, which one of those two colorful adjectives would I be?
You are who you are, Basie.
Yes, I am, Dawson. And so are you. You, Dawson Leary, are a self-righteous son of a bitch who cares more about his rose-colored, defunct 1950s belief system than the people who fail to live up to it, huh?
Interesting choice of words coming from a smug, cold-hearted son of a bitch who just dumped his girlfriend after she begged and pleaded for an ounce of sympathy.
At least I didn't send her father to prison.
No, you just made her go crazy.
That was Pacey punching Dawson and then Dawson punching Pacey back and Pacey falling down. And Pacey, I'm so mad that the best point of this whole episode was in the middle of that fight, which is,
yes,
you stole it first. Like, how dare you be this shitty? Just because you didn't open it and look at it doesn't mean you weren't already doing something unethical. Fuck off.
Yeah. Also, this is not like a fairy tale in which you're, or like Sir Gawain and the Forehead Knight. Like, this is not real. It's not real.
Right.
And if it were, you're still so shitty. Like, you're not the hero.
Yeah, no.
You're not. Ooh. You're someone else's test.
Right.
Awful.
Pacey's still struggling to stand up when Joey comes out and yells at Dawson. Pacey, always the better friend and person, says it's his own fault and apologizes. And Joey, leaning protectively over Pacey, tells Dawson, this has got to stop. And Dawson feels bad. Not bad enough, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
After the commercial, Joey brings Pacey a cold Pepsi in lieu of ice for his lip. Pacey pouts that he can't believe Dawson thought he took the test. He thought if he had earned anyone's respect, it was Dawson's. Joey stops him before saying that Dawson thinking Pacey's a loser doesn't actually make him one. She's thought Pacey was a loser for years and he never believed her. Pacey then slides back into talk of the general consensus about him. Everyone knows how we feel about that. But Joey firmly says he can ignore that talk until it's right. And I just want to note here, by this time, Joshua Jackson and Katie Holmes had dated and broken up. And I at least would definitely assume they were still fucking based on these performances. Like, their chemistry is off the charts.
Yeah. Wild.
Anyway, Pacey asks Joey to tell Dawson he's innocent because he'll believe Joey. She says Dawson's his friend, too, and right now he's probably beating himself up about his false accusation. Pacey says that's good. Fine. He deserves it, which he does. And Pacey would never accuse him of cheating. Joey doesn't think Dawson would have ever taken a swing at Pacey, who protests that Dawson was the one who started their spat. Joey refuses to get involved, so Pacey asks what she thinks happened to the test. Joey thinks there are things you're better off not knowing. So, okay, how bad is his lip? He asks. Joey cracks that any reconstructive surgery on his face would be an improvement, and they smile at each other, and it's cute. And Dawson is, in fact, stewing guiltily when Eve, after a costume change into slutty little orphan Annie, walks up behind him. Look at the visual aids and tell me I'm wrong. This is a red tube dress, or I guess it has a halter with like a white trim, and that's all I could see.
Yeah, it's like an Adidas mini with an Orphan Annie, like, faux collar on the front.
Mm-hmm.
Skin tight. I mean, look, she looks great, but please get rid.
Mm-hmm. She asks if he got the test back, so he dramatically turns to reveal his black eye. She asks what happened. He's been sitting there trying to figure that out, and clip 17.
The thing I can come up with is you, Eve. You happen to me. You and that stupid test.
Which one of us gave you the black eye?
Look, if I accept my blame in this, but don't even try to tell me that you didn't know what giving me that test would do.
Look, if crafting me as a villain in your little mystery is what it takes for you to sleep at night, go right ahead. The fact is, we're all criminals, Dawson, in one way or another. just the stupid ones who get caught.
Nice knowing you, Eve.
Is that how it works? Someone offers you a view of human nature that's even remotely truthful, and you just walk away from them? It terrifies you, doesn't it? That wholesome Dawson Leary could be so overwhelmingly attracted to someone so flawed. So real.
The purpose of our spending time together was to get to know each other. You know what? Now that I know you, I don't really like you.
Ew.
But fucking finally.
Just hate fucker and get on with your life, bruh. It's not hard.
I mean, it's probably a little hard, but Eve stares into Dawson's eyes until he dramatically walks off. And she tries to scoff, but as he continues walking off, her face falls. And then it's the next day and everyone's in the library getting ready to take the test. But just before Principal Green starts his timer, Dawson gets up, hands in his test book, and leaves. Why? We have no evidence he looked at the test and then decided not to cheat. Like, that's the only reason this would make sense.
Yeah. Or it's Dead Poets Society thing, which, like, okay, then just don't take the test.
Right. No one made you show up. Like, could have slept in.
It's a Saturday at, like, 8:15. Yes. Go back to bed. Like, why'd you get up?
Right.
Ugh. Worst.
He's not the only one, unfortunately. Principal Green is trying to resume when Pacey also takes his booklet up, saying he left the oven on, and he and Joey smile at each other as he walks out. And on the steps outside, Pacey joins Dawson. Clip 18.
What's taking you so long? That's those analogies, man. They're killer. Remind me why we just did that again? Because if we're going to beat the crap out of each other, it should at least be over a chick.
Shut up.
Worst.
But that's not the end. We still don't know who took the test. Presumably it wasn't either of them. Back inside, Principal Green tells everyone they may begin, and as we hear the students ripping open the seals on their booklets, the camera pans past Joey to Andy, busily filling in bubbles before she remembers she has to open her booklet to... Oh! Also, she's not even going to, like, confirm the test she used to make her cheat sheet is the one she actually got. Sloppy. I would love that to be the twist, but spoiler, it's not. Let's close up by naming our MVP. Pacey, he punched Dawson and it made me happy.
Jack, he survived the shoot and he got to say fuck on TV.
He did. Least valuable player. Dawson, fuck off and die.
Eve, take her with you. Next time on Again With This, Mitch doesn't want Dawson doing a story on Jack for Gail, Andy doesn't want Principal Green to know the story on her PSAT scores, and we get some foreshadowing on the show's story in boat form. Any form of Malox will do before you check out our visual aids. That's the important screenshots and GIFs from this and every other episode of the podcast. You'll find them at againwiththispodcast.com, as well as the entire archive of episodes of Again With This, againwiththispodcast.com/subscribe. I'm FCC compliant mantra Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is well-thumbed but unread thesaurus Tara Ariano. She's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, was a metaphor. Talk to you next time.
That's not going to work.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.